Good evening. So we're reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for the obedience to Jesus Christ, and for the sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as it was necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what personal time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels long to look.
Good evening. We have a poster at home, and listed on this poster are all the blessings that we have in Christ. All the blessings that are ours because of the gospel. And sometimes when you get down and you get discouraged and you wonder where life is going, it's good to be reminded of all the things that God has done for us. It's good to be reminded of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And in this passage in 1 Peter, he lists three great blessings that we have, and I want to look at those in a moment. But first, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise you that you're our God. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his gospel. In the gospel we have life. In the gospel we have peace. In the gospel we have joy. In the gospel we have a blessed hope. And Father, we pray that tonight, by your word and by your spirit, we may be lifted up. We may be encouraged. And that we may go rejoicing. Thinking, focusing, praising you for all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you ever get discouraged? You know, all sorts of things can discourage us. The loss of something can discourage us. And by and large, we always get discouraged because of the loss of something, a loss of a relationship, or a loss of a job, or a loss of health, or whatever. Discouragement is a universal disease. We all get discouraged at one time or another. And sometimes discouragement can be highly contagious. You're among discouraged people and you also get despondent. But while it's contagious, it's also curable. We need to focus on what determines our happiness. And our happiness as Christians is who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ Jesus. You focus on positive things and the outlook would be brighter. If you focus on negative things, of course you're going to get very discouraged and very despondent. So, if you're feeling that discouragement, you need to turn to the Word of God. A good antidote to discouragement is read the Word. Focus on what you are in Christ. Look at what Christ has done for you. Look at the gospel. Look at the grace of God. And you will be lifted up. You'll be given a new outlook. You will be given a peace of mind. And the passage we are looking at tonight in 1 Peter is full of encouragement. It's a letter written by the Apostle Peter to people who are confused, who are being persecuted. They were suffering because of their faith. They were exiles. They were scattered to all different places. They are listed in verse 1. And there are two words in that verse 1. And the word is elect, exiles. What a contrast in those two little words in that verse 1. Elect conjures up all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. All the hope that we have. Exiles thinks about suffering and persecution and torment. And Peter acknowledges there in verse 6, you have been grieved by various trials. For a little while you have been grieved by various trials. He says, I know you're going through some difficult times at the moment. And that is a bit of an understatement, isn't it? At the time of writing, these Christians were being put in prison. They were being tortured. They were being burnt at the stake. They were under persecution. They were going through difficult times, all right. You know what people need in situations like that? They need somebody to sing to them, don't worry, be happy, don't worry. No, they don't, do they? What they need is to focus on the gospel. What they need is to be reminded of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And Peter here gives just three simple truths that I want you to take home with you tonight. Focus on them, and your discouragement will lift. Focus on what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and your outlook would be brighter. So, number one, God has chosen you to be part of his family. Isn't that wonderful? Look at verse 2 there. You have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. What he is saying here, that your salvation was no accident. God chose you. God purposely chose you. He took the initiative. Your salvation is not a fluke. It's not an accident. It's not because you happened to be in a meeting or heard the gospel or something or other. He chose you. It was God's idea from the very start. You were chosen according to the purposes of God. And this brings up a couple of questions. The first one is why? Why in the world would God choose me or you? Why would God choose me? Why would he want me to be part of his family? The answer, not because of who you are or what you have done. Our salvation rests entirely on who God is and what he has done. It's all about God. It's all about his love. It's all about his mercy. It's all about his grace. Our salvation starts and ends with God. It's all about him. And we need to understand grace, because the more we understand grace, the more amazed we will be about it. The more we think of God's grace, the more wondrous we are perplexed by the greatness of it. God chose you. Did you deserve it? No, not a chance. Did you deserve to go to heaven? No way. Are you good enough to be in his family? No, you're not. He just chose you. That's the good news. By grace. Why did God choose you and me? On what basis did he do that? Look at verse 3. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our salvation is based entirely on God's mercy, not on our performance. We could never earn it. We could never deserve it. We would never be perfect enough to enter into God's presence. It is all of grace. It's a gift of God. The creator of the universe says, and think about this, I want you in my family. The Holy One, the one who is perfect, the one who is without blemish, says to you, a sinner, I want you in my family. That blows my mind. And if that is an encouragement. I want you to do something. I want you to put your thumb on your pulse and see if you're alive. Because that is wonderful. To think that God wants you in his family. God wants you to be with him. Notice those words in verse 3. He calls us to be born again. It means that you are a new creation. Your life started again on a different plane. You were given a fresh start. You now belong to God's family. You're now royalty. You're now a child of God. You need to realize it. You need to praise God for it. You need to live like it. I am a child of God. And if you're going through difficult times this evening, be encouraged by this. God chose you. He has given you a new life. He made you part of his family. He wants you to know that he loves you. You know, no matter what happens to you, no matter what situation you may be in, just focus on this. God loves me. The creator of heaven and earth loves me. Hallelujah. I'm saying you remind yourself of that. No matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances, God will always love you. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let me make your outlook even a little brighter. God is still working in your life. God is at work. You're still under construction. Even when you think nothing is happening, even when you think God is a million miles away, you are not alone. God is working in your life. There's a process going on. Construction is progressing. Change is taking place. Don't be discouraged with yourself, but look with anticipation of what God is doing in your life. In verse 2, it speaks about the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. Peter says the Holy Spirit is doing something special in our lives. He is sanctifying you. He is cleansing you. He is making changes in your life. He's conforming you more and more to the image of Jesus Christ, making you more Christ-like. There's a whole interior decorating project taking place in your life right now. The result of this work is grace and peace. Grace and peace is multiplied to you so that you may have God's favor in abundance. And I want us to turn to verse 2 here. The end of verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. And as this process of sanctification, as God works in your life, grace and peace is multiplied to you. These are two blessings from having God work in our life. First, there is grace. We can describe grace as God's special favor to us. Grace means that we are richly blessed. A blessing that God gives you, a blessing that you need, not something that you deserve. It's a blessing. That's grace. God is merciful to you because God is merciful to you. It's all about Him. It's all about His grace. And secondly, there's peace. God's wonderful peace is yours in abundance. You will have increasing freedom from anxiety, increasing freedom from fear. You will have that peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace of mind that says, all is well with my soul. And my prayer is that you would understand grace and peace, because these are two great blessings. And that was Peter's prayer for the people that he's writing to. People who are exiled, people who are under persecution. And he just wants to know, hey, listen. May grace and peace be multiplied to you, no matter what your situation. Just focus on these things, God's grace and the peace that only He can give. I pray that you would understand grace and that you will experience peace. The peace of God that is truly amazing, that gives us that comfort, that gives us that joy, that gives us that inner serenity that no one can take away. Take heart, be encouraged. No matter what problems you might be going through, no matter what your situation, God still loves you. No matter what happens, God will continue to love you. He will continue to work in your life. He could continue to show His mercy and His grace, and you will have peace. You may feel that the situation you're going through is hopeless, absolutely hopeless. You don't know my situation, you may be saying to me. Look, you wouldn't be preaching that sermon if you knew what I'm going through at this moment. But your situation is not hopeless. As long as you have God working in your life, you're not hopeless. You may feel it's hopeless, but it's not. God is at work in your life. Change is taking place. God is helping you. God is changing you. God is there molding you and making you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. There in verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The purposes of your problems is to prove that your faith is genuine. Your faith is tested that it may be proved genuine faith. that it may result to the praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. All the difficulties that we go through in life, and we go through difficulties because we live in a fallen world. You can't escape those difficulties. But all those difficulties that God takes us through have a purpose. Their aim is to test our faith. Their aim is to refine our faith. Just as gold is refined by heat, by fire, so is our faith refined by the testing, by the troubles, by the difficulties, by the circumstances of life in this fallen world. While the problems that we go through are temporary, short and temporary, Peter says, for a little while. For a little while. The reward is going to be lasting and ongoing. The reward is eternity. Even if the problem is one that you had all your life, it is only a split second when compared to eternity. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, are light and momentary troubles. Notice that, light and momentary, they're just passing. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. This short time of distress will result in God's richest blessings and favor. These hard times are really small potatoes compared to the coming good times. And these people needed to know that these problems that they were going through, really, compared to eternity, were very small, very light. They were just a little while. Sometimes a freak accident or something unexpected can really rock us. It can really even change the direction of our lives. And you wonder why. Why did this happen? Why did this take place? Why did this happen to me? But take courage. God has a purpose in it. He is working in your life. He is refining your faith. He is changing you. He is making you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And this we need to rejoice. You know how James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers. Pure joy. When you go through trials and tribulations of many kinds. Now here's something else to encourage you. God has secured your future. Look at verses 3 and 4. Peter says that God, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. God's priceless gift of eternal life is yours for all eternity. Eternity is forever. Once you have received eternal life by the grace of God, you have it for keeps. Nobody can take it from you. Nothing can rob you from it. It is imperishable. It is undefiled. It is unfading. It is kept in heaven for you. It's out of your reach. No one can spoil it for you. Do you get the message? He says it four times. It is imperishable, undefined, unfading. It is kept in heaven for you. If you have been born again, your salvation is secure. You can't lose it. That is security. Once you've got it, you can't lose it. Eternal life is for all eternity. If not, it wouldn't be eternal life. Take heart. There's no undo button on God's computer. There's no delete button either, for that matter. Your salvation is irreversible. Once your name is in the book, in the Lamb's Book of Life, it is there forever in indelible ink. There's no way to reverse it. Can you imagine if that wasn't so? Can you imagine if God temporarily puts your name in pencil? Yeah, I'll put Des Morris, I'll put it in light pencil because who knows, I may have to rub it up. And every time that you sinned, God rubbed your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you got right with God again, you would write your name in again. And when you sinned again, you would rub it out. In my case, he would be constantly writing and rubbing. The place where my name would be a hole in the page. And if you're fearful that you might lose your salvation, you don't understand grace. Titus 3 verse 5 says, he saved us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his own mercy. If I was saved on the basis of works of righteousness, obviously, if I stopped doing these works of righteousness, I'd lose my salvation. I do works of righteousness to get myself saved, and I continue to do these works of righteousness to keep myself saved. And if I stop doing that, guess what? I fall back in the hole. I lost my salvation. Oh, woe is me. But we are saved on the basis of what Christ did. We're saved on his finished work. We're saved by what he did. And what he did it all perfectly. That great verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 89. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one can boast. If you could keep looking at yourself, if you keep looking at your performance, if you start navel gazing, and I'm not talking looking at ships of the RNN, but I'm looking at your navel. If you start looking at yourself, you will get discouraged, no doubt about it. Listen, you don't get to heaven by your works. Therefore, you can't lose your salvation by your unworks once you're a believer. Yes, Christians do sin. Yes, Christians sometimes backslide. Yes, Christians sometimes go through very difficult times. But if you were a genuine believer, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may wander off. But God, who guards your salvation, will bring you back to himself. That is not encouragement to wander off. That's encouragement to keep our eyes on Jesus and to follow him every day of my life. I don't want to wander off. Because in wandering off, we lose all the peace and the joy that comes from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation to be revealed in the last time. Your salvation, your life in Christ, is being guarded by God's power. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Paul said, I am sure, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor demons, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, nothing, absolutely nothing in all creation would be able to separate you from the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is security. That is our peace. That is our joy. Your salvation is being guarded by God's power. That's good news. There is nothing greater than God's mighty power. Nothing greater. You may lose your job, you may lose your house, you may even lose your health, but you will not lose your salvation. Your ticket to heaven is in heaven, in God's vault in heaven. And he keeps it, he protects it, he guards it. It's beyond anybody's reach. Nobody can snatch it out of his hands. It's beyond change and decay. It is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. We need to rejoice in these things. This is wonderful news. Verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy. Notice those words. I mean, Paul is trying to use words that to describe something that is beyond words. You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And then he says in verse 10 and 11, concerning this salvation, and this shows us that God had you in his plan long before you were born. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. The prophets of old spoke about your salvation. The prophets of old spoke about what God was going to do in Christ to rescue the perishing, to rescue them. You were in his mind before the foundation of the world. And then in verse 12 it says, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long. Cheer up and celebrate. Even the angels long to be in this. So, you may be going through some difficult times. You may be feel down, you may be feel discouraged, you may be a bit despondent. Don't lose your perspective. God has chosen you to be part of his family. That's salvation. God is still working in your life. That is sanctification. God has secured your future. That is glorification. Now, you don't need to know all those terms. All you need to know is the bottom line. You win. In Jesus Christ, we have the victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for our salvation. We thank you, Father, for that our salvation is secure in your hand. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with you. And in this we rejoice. In this we have confidence. In this we have peace. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And Lord, to you we give all the glory and all the praise. Now and always. Amen.